everybody. Carrie Fury here, filling in for Kathy Lewis. You know, in a sink or swim world, the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy is helping young people with limited opportunities stand on their own two sea legs. With all the water around us, you'd think there would be no shortage of ready and able men and women to work it. But the local maritime industry will soon be in dire need of nearly 70,000 new workers in the next decade. And to meet this growing demand, the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy, right around the corner here, has launched an 8-week boot camp getting students all the credentials and the experience they need to begin employment among any number of vessels. Today, we're going to talk with Lee Golden, the executive director of the boot camp, career mariner Joe Mikulski, and a graduate of the very first boot camp program to tell us, does this really work? Did he really find employment? It's next after the news. Hi, everybody. Carrie Fury in for Kathy Lewis today on Hearsay on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon out there. Hopefully everybody is recovering from the storm. We had a lot of problems out there, and I know kids still delayed from school or schools are closed. Some people still waiting for power to come back on. So if you have the ability to listen to Hearsay today, whether you're online or actually have the power back to your stereo, or if you're in your car, we're just glad that you're here and hope that everything went okay for you during the storm. So an interesting topic today. A lot of you know that I got my start as a broadcaster through Armed Forces Radio and Television as an enlisted sailor. After going off to college and flunking out a couple times. So you've heard me anytime we have the opportunity to talk about the importance and value of vocational training, I jump on the chance. And we have that chance once again today, and we have the chance to talk about the Navy, another one of my favorite things, and also civilian careers at sea. It is very hard to believe that we could be looking at a shortage estimated of about 70,000 people by the year 2022. Right around the corner. That's how many people we're going to need to enter careers in the maritime industry. And there is a group that is trying to meet that need right here in Hampton Roads, where we have so many opportunities to work on the water. And it's scary to think that we are, you know, the opportunities are there, but the people are not necessarily ready. So we're going to be talking about that today. But we also want to hear about your experience, too. If you had a career at sea, on the water, or if you got into your career through a vocational program. A lot of people, you know, the last time I filled in here, we were talking about the closure of ITT Tech and how a lot of people started on a track to an education that promised them instant employment. And it didn't quite work out that way. Today, we're going to be talking about a program that is working. It's a new program, but it's already got a track record for success. So let me get right to our introductions today. Lee Goldman is here in the studio. She's the executive director of the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy Boot Camp Program, is what we're talking about today. Also in the studio, one of the first graduates who will tell us the real deal on this program, what it was like to go through it, why he went through it, and what he is doing now that he has finished. And, you know, we're going to hear that he is working. His experiences will be shared with you today. His name is Judea Holloman. Also in the studio today, Joe Mikulski, who grew up in Brooklyn, New York, until at 16, 17 years old. He set out for a career at sea as a very young person and had quite a career, including service aboard the SS United States, an ocean liner built in Newport News, now up in Pennsylvania, hopefully going to be made grand once again. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But Joe also deserves so much credit for retiring after 30 years with Military Sealift Command as a chief engineer. Thank you to all of you for being with us in studio today.
Thank you, Carrie.
And again, we want your calls, so please feel free to join our conversation today if you would like to call in and add your thoughts to this program. We know this topic is near and dear to our area here in Hampton Roads with water all around. All right, let me start with you, Lee. When did you kind of first start to identify the need? Why did the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy say, you know what, we need to create a program that gets people quickly ready for a career at sea?
We started to recognize it when people would call to go to school and yet they didn't have funding and they wanted to know if we would take and, you know, do the funding, which we don't do. So we put a grant in for a grant with Opportunity Inc. Mm-hmm. And we were awarded the grant. In the meantime, we had almost 1,000 people apply within 90 days.
Within 90 days, 1,000 people applied for this program. What is that? And how many people were you intending to take? How many people did you think you'd be able to take?
Well, we know how many we can take. We just didn't know that we were going to have that many apply.
Right. How many could you take, though?
20 at each class.
20 per class. You've got 1,000 people who want to do this. What does that tell you about the desire for people to find an opportunity?
It tells me the desire is there, and we have to find a way to take and support it and to help them get into the industry.
So through Opportunity Inc., the grant comes in.
Yes.
We get started. When did you start the first class?
The first class was in July. Mm-hmm. We had to learn a little bit about what we needed to do according to the Coast Guard, because they rule everything that's done on the water.
True.
So we had to really work hard to qualify the people for the program. And sometimes it gets a little tough because people aren't always honest. They have to get a drug test. They have to be. They have to have a background check. So between those two, we kind of weeded them out, and we got down to 18. And then because others had obligations or they decided they couldn't do it, we ended up with 12. So that was the first class.
Tell me more about the people that you're hearing from. Are these 17-year-olds who are opting to do this instead of school? Are these people who, like me, had some bumps in the road and needed to find another way? Are they in their 20s?
The out-of-school youth were 19 to 24.
Okay.
That was the first one. The one we're doing now is for 19 up to however old you want to be. And we have another 52 that we can take and do, because the grant has a limit on it.
Okay. But you found the funding to at least move forward, find the right candidates. And I was reading a little bit about some of the essays that folks had to write to be accepted into the program. Stories of wanting to take care of young families. Stories of wanting to get out of neighborhoods full of drugs and violence. I mean, it had to be a pretty incredible process, the selection process, and some heartbreaking things that you saw people want to work through.
It made me realize that there were people out there that really cared and really wanted to get somewhere in life, and that it didn't matter how old they were, they still had that desire. And if they have the desire, they will work at it. Some of these kids have never been, or these people have never had structure. They've never had people to care enough to say, this is the way it has to be. Some of them don't even have their fathers on the birth certificates. Some of them are raised by their grandmothers because their mother's incarcerated or she's deceased. The stories go on and on and on. And it brings reality to you as to what's out there that maybe you never realized.
And these are the things that you mentioned can be real barriers to a formal four-year education. They can be barriers to joining the military if you've got things on your record that you can't, that, you know, so for a lot of folks, doors have closed that are very, very hard to reopen once they've closed. So it's nice to hear that this program, not every door has closed. I want to talk to Judea Holloman, and Judea, you go by Jew Holloman. Tell me how you heard about the program and what what was your desire to be involved? And you went through the first program, right?
No, or I went through the first program.
The second.
This is the first program I'm going through.
Okay.
I went to a program called Seafair International Union, called Piney Point, Herbert Lumber School, Seamanship. And went through the program, graduated through the program. After I graduated through the program, got on my first ship. Everything was fine. That's out of Maryland. And when I did that, everything was going on good. I sailed for like 3-4 years. After that, then I became a single parent. My son was born in 12-2-99. And I had to make a, I mean, when I'm sailing, everything's going, bills getting paid, everything. But at the same time, come back home. I know he was getting raised by my mother, because I became a single parent. So, but I learned a lot being a single parent, though. I take my, you know, my everybody's saying. I learned about the afterbirth, and I did the baby birth. I did everything, the baby shower. I mean, so, but at the same time, I had to make a decision from sailing to being a parent. So I took the chance to being a parent, and I told my captain, he just gave me a recommendation, the chief engineer gave me a recommendation. I said, this might be my last tour. They were like, what? I said, they would say, you don't need a job, come back. I said, all right.
So how did you end up in the Maritime Academy's
program? I ended up into the, as time went on, I went from a parent to meet Miss Goldman now. But in that meantime, that slot of years from 2007 up to now, I was homeless. So me and my son were living in a car. Sometimes we didn't eat. Sometimes it was the recession year for the past 8 years. But all along, I knew I had to get back to sailing to get to where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. My son now 16. He got four schools looking at him. East Carolina. He likes University of Miami, UNC, and NC State. I think he's going to – I'm not going to tell you where he's leaning
at. Don't tell
him. He'll be mad.
You can tell that you're very proud of him and proud of your ability to take care of him. But how – and we know we do have callers waiting on the line. But can hang on. I don't want to interrupt your story. But how did this program?
Is this a good fit? This worked because this program that Mrs. Goldman has at Middle Maritime is great because I didn't have to come out of my pocket to pay almost like $5,000 to take my class to get recertified to ship, mm-hmm. which should be we coming to take our lifeboat, which is water survival, firefighting, basic firefighting, and CPR AED. Mm-hmm. I went through Opportunity Inc. They helped me out. Went meet Miss Golden. I was scared, but I met her. she heard my story. Did everything the Opportunity Inc. want me to do. My instructor, Miss Carol, and Mrs. Goldman. Miss Goldman said, "Okay, you in the program." So now, about a couple more weeks, I'll be returning back to sale.
It's fantastic.
And, yeah, if it won't, like I said, it's like I'm getting a second chance in life to do what I need to do, plus financially and just be able to live the way I want to live.
We're glad for you. Thank you for coming to tell your story. We're going to hear more in a second, but just in case Brian has other things to do besides wait on hold for hearsay, we want to get to his call. Brian, thanks so much for being so patient and for calling in today. Go ahead.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Today. Great program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to pass on that I think vocational schools – And then also the Navy is a very good choice for people that have maybe a question about their direction in life. When I was in high school, school wasn't for me, and I ended up going into VICA, Vocational Industrial Clubs of America, and did that for a couple of years. And then when it came time to jump into my senior year in high school, I got a job as a cook in a sorority, and I figured I didn't need high school anymore, so I jumped into that.
And, did you say a cook in a sorority?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
It was a good job, but when the one of the cooks decided, found out that she couldn't have a baby, so she came back, and I bowed out because all the seniors and juniors wanted their cook back. So when I jumped into the Navy, I didn't have a high school graduate at the time. So I went ahead and I got that through the Navy, and then I was a cook in the Navy, and then went on to work in some higher prestigious jobs. In fact, I worked for two presidents in the White House, and I feel like getting into the Navy really kind of set my life straight.
Good for you. I appreciate your service. Brian is a veteran, 24 years of service in the Navy. But, you know, it's those first few years that are pivotal, right, when you find your direction and then you decide to stay. But we appreciate Brian sharing his story today. Certainly one way to have a career in the water is to join the Navy. Not for everybody, though. I want to remind you, Joe Mikulski is here with us. You know, when you hear Jew tell his story about, you know, wanting to get out and be on the water for a career, does it speak to, you know, young Joe at 16 or 17? What made you take that particular path, and how does it make you feel to know that that tradition and opportunity will continue because of programs like the one we're talking about today?
Well, Carrie, absolutely. You know, listen to Jude talk, you know, brings back so many memories for all the years. I sailed for 44 years, actually, 32 years with the Military Sealift Command. and retired as chief engineer the last 14 years with the Military Sealift Command. However, my time started back in the late 60s, in 66, in December 66. The New York City School Board and I decided that we were going in different directions.
That's one way to put it.
And knowing what it's like out there, being a young man that grew up in Brooklyn, New York back then, and it was a tough time. My father was a merchant seaman, so he was away a lot. So I didn't really have a father growing up that much. There wasn't many union benefits as far as vacation was concerned. So my dad wasn't home a lot. So my mom had to raise my sister and myself. It was very tough on her because, you know, me, I was very energetic, hyperactive, I think they would call me back in those days. Now they have other terms. But, you know, so when the opportunity came to go to sea, I kind of jumped on it. My father got me aboard the SS United States in December 1966. I sailed aboard her until 1969. I sailed as assistant linen keepers, sorting dirty linen for 12 hours a day, and worked my way up from tourist class waiter to first class waiter, cabin class waiter, first class waiter, first class deck steward. Sailed on her for 2.5 years, and just before she laid up in 1969, I went into the engine department and started sailing all the old great steamship lines and companies out of New York, traveling all over the world, working my way up from wiper to fireman, water tender, oiler to machinist. I went to many industrial schools. I went to maritime training schools. So I can, you know, relate to everything that Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy is doing. And to Jude's story, you know, wanting to go back, wanting to learn more. My friends would say, you know, every time we see you, you're going to school. Now, I couldn't go to school when I was in public school in Brooklyn, but it's amazing when I got a little bit of maturity from going to sea, from dealing with the other merchant mariners, the other seamen, my shipmates that had been around the old times. I caught the end of an era. I got the guys that sailed during World War II. I got the guys that were on ships that were torpedoed during the war. It was amazing stories, amazing sea stories that I grew up in that history. And the SS United States, you know, did it with style and sophistication and speed.
Built here, right? Newport News?
Built in Newport News, designed by William Francis Gibbs, who designed 5,000 ships during World War II, and many of them just the state of the art, ahead of their time, like the SS United States. And there's still many people that worked aboard the vessel right here in the Hampton Roads areas. There's former crew members, passengers, people that know the vessel. And we encourage them today to get involved with the SS United States Conservancy.org online and see what they have to offer. You know, as far as crew, we just had a crew reunion and passenger reunion in Philadelphia. Tremendous success. There's a lot of going-ons about the vessel right now, trying to keep it alive. It's still there in Philadelphia, sitting alongside the pier in Philadelphia. It's a tremendous cost to keep her going, so we're looking for donations there, of course. Yeah. There's a lot of studies that have just been done by Crystal Cruise Lines. There was a 3D imaging process that went on. There are other developers that are interested in the vessel, so there's still opportunity and hope that we can keep this ship alive, the ship which created a balance in the world with the United States Merchant Marine. When I joined the Merchant Marine, the American flag was all over the world.
Yeah.
And we went to countries that you couldn't imagine. So, you know, having the SS United States visit those countries represented the country like no other way. And the Merchant Marine today, which is down to 171 ships, you know, is really just surviving and needs to be thought of as a viable industry again in this country.
Yeah, and that is exactly the point that we're making today by shining a spotlight on the the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy boot camp. You've been listening, if you're just joining us, to Joe Mikulski, who had a career, you know, when you think about all the, it's almost like you had two or three careers. It's hard to imagine your resume as that of one person when you talk about all the things that you've done. And I know it's important to you also to add your consulting and expertise to this program that we're talking about today. If you'd like to join our conversation, 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. zero. So, Lee, I want to get back to you and the essays, the people waiting to get into this program. You know, Joe mentioned that he was ready to study and learn and work hard when he got some of the maturity of going to see. Do you also find that when people kind of meet that thing that they love, they become more motivated as well? I know the first time I was exposed to broadcasting, I was a much more motivated student than I ever was in Western civilization and geology and the other things that were supposed to round out my education as an English major. When I found what I loved, I suddenly was a much better student. Do you see the same thing happening when you introduce this kind of career?
The biggest time to see it is when they do the internship. They do a 4-week internship. The local companies have been wonderful helping us with this. And to see them out on the tugboats and learning how to do things that they will actually experience in the things they've learned in the class is very rewarding. And you can see the passion.
This wouldn't work without the local companies, would it? I mean, you have to have folks who are willing to kind of take a chance. This is a relatively new program.
It's a very new program.
What was it like to approach them and say, look, we need you to be a partner in this and you need to consider our graduates as great employees?
Most of them were very helpful. They had a certain criteria we had to follow, which we understood.
Sure.
The first one, they kind of, you know, it was like, let's wait and see. Now they're waiting in line to take the next group, mm-hmm. which is very good.
That's
in fact,
great.
Today we had one of the tug companies come by and speak to the people. And when he left, he said, we'll take some. You know, we've had them waiting in line to take them for this class. So that's very rewarding. Just to see the passion they get by learning how to do certain things within the classroom, such as throwing a rope. You guys have another name for it, I think. But
heaving line.
Well, yeah. Well, there's no ropes on a ship. The only rope
lines,
is to raise
the lines. So, even I remember that.
So you heave a line, right?
Well, to watch them heave the line at work.
Tie knots.
And tie knots. They sit there and tie knots, and to see them help each other, it's very rewarding. I mean, the friendships they build are wonderful. We have one particular young man who has gotten them all together, and because they have to go to the pool, you have to be able to swim. He's gotten them to go and practice before they have that day to go to the pool. Yeah. I think just watching the friendships grow is one of the biggest things. And just to see the passion, they come back and they say, guess what we did today? Yeah. We were on the tug going down, and we were past waterside, and people were waving at us. They were so excited about that. Then they got to spend the night on the tugboats. And one young man ended up cooking for everybody. And he said, I didn't even know I liked to cook. So, you know, you see a lot of passion come out of it. But I wanted to say something. This all started with the late Senator Yvonne Miller. Mm. She came to us and she said back in 2008, if you can find a way to help the people, it will be the best thing you could ever do for me. So our last class we had was in her honor. And she was such an inspiration to us in helping us see that there was a need out there that we didn't realize. We knew the need was coming about in the business, but we didn't know the need was there with the people. Mm-hmm. And then Don Hess has been a great help with the Brighton School. So we've had a lot of good input come in to help us get this program off the ground and guide us into what's needed.
I want to talk to you a little bit more, Drew, about this, the transformative power of a second chance, you know, really, to have gone through what you went through, to be able to sit here and to say that not that long ago, you were living in your car with your son.
Yeah.
You probably had to have moments where you thought,
it was a sacrifice.
Life is, you know, I'm never going to have these opportunities. So to get into this program and have people once again have the faith in you to say, you come and work hard and don't worry about the bill, and then know that there are companies out there who cannot wait for you to finish so they can give you a job. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, that's all you have to do. Like today, we had Norfolk Tug came in, and the guy said, just tie into my LinkedIn page. And we was like, and we had everybody had laptops set up. So all you had to do was just go ahead to your LinkedIn, or go to another website, was JobMonkey. So if you're hard enough to put the foot forward, Miss Goldstein, she will help you get you what you need. And we got good instructors, Miss Carol, Miss Janice, and then Mr. Pete. Mr. Pete was going to be doing our water survival coming up. This program right here, you learn a lot in a compressed time because we got another class coming in behind us. If you don't put the foot forward and be aggressive, you don't want to fall behind because you got to say, and you never know who's in the building, who's walking back. And like I said, you have to take everything that you're doing not for granted because you never know. Everything was going on great, but I had to make a sacrifice. And then I was living off my savings and all that. But now this is just like a rebirth because I know what I need to do. And you know, like I said, this lady right here helped me. You know, she could have denied me that when she interviewed me, but she heard my story. I don't like to tell it to everybody. And she said, okay, you in the, this, there was other words she was telling me in so many words. Okay, let's do this.
That's great. Yeah. Again, there is room for you in this conversation today. 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Joe, I know you're dying to say something.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just brings back so many memories. When I retired from Military Sealift Command and my maritime career after 44 years, Captain Nanadovich, Ed Nanadovich, who I had worked with through the years, asked me if I'd come over to Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy and help them out. So I came over and I met the Goldmans. I met Lee and Arthur Goldman, great, great people. And they were happy I was there. And I said, okay, what do I do? And I started teaching engineering courses at Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy. And that's when, you know, and my passion for going to sea has never faded. And watching and helping guys, you know, shipmates and gals, to achieve their dream, to get knowledge. I always believe that everybody can learn whatever's out there that's available for them. And I, one of the greatest compliments I think I ever got in a classroom one day was when the student said, you know, you make me feel like I'm on the ship. You make me feel like I'm standing in the engine room on the floor plates and experiencing an operating steam plant or a motor plant or a gas turbine plant. I'm licensed in all three of those credentials, either steam or motor or gas turbine. So giving back what I've learned through all the industrial schools, you know, I went back, I got my GED, I ended up taking college courses, learning again how to all the knowledge that's out there, not just, you know, maritime knowledge, but knowledge that's out there that you need to be, you know, a good engineer or a good shipmate or a good seaman, you know. Yeah, so. Yeah. So I took, and then of course all the Navy courses I took when I was with Military Sealift Command. To watch these students learn and get this information and soak it up, and then that oh moment, you know, that oh yeah, that's how it works, that's how a system operates, that's what I have to do. I would, you know, and you know, Jude talked about the pool. It's amazing how many adults don't know how to swim.
Yeah,
and
I remember that from boot camp. Jumping, you have to jump off the huge big platform. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, and I would spend extra time in the pool with these students when I would have to take my survival craft training and renew my credentials. And I would, you know, so at night, you know, they would say, "I don't know how to swim. I'm afraid." And being afraid of the water is a terrible thing. And I would teach them how to float because they had to float for 2 minutes.
Right.
And I would teach them at night on my own time, and I would teach them how to float. Today, I'm on the board of directors of the nonprofit, which is the Pacific Atlantic Professional Academy of Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy. And, I don't get any, you know, funding for that. I do this because I love this industry. I give back to the industry that gave me so much. And to see somebody like Jude, you know, with that passion, with that fire in their eyes, so, you know, waiting to get back on the ship, you know, is just what this is really all about.
And we should talk about that, too, that this isn't just for people looking to enter in. These are folks who maybe had a break in their career like Jude did, who need to get recertified. They also can attend the academy. So tell me more about what it looks like in there, because this is a building in the middle of a business park. And there's a reason besides Joe's personality and experience that makes folks feel like they are standing on the deck plates or the bridge or the engine room. There's like world-class simulators in there, correct?
Yes, we have a deck simulator, which is up to date, the best technology you can get. And when you go in there, it doesn't move, but you really think it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the engineering, which now is top-notch. The latest, it's touch screen. I mean, and the lights are off blue, and you feel like you're really in an engine room. And then we have the electrical room where they do electrical troubleshooting. And then we have a lab. Rolls-Royce donated two diesel engines to us. No, turbo engines.
Well, we have a turbine, a gas turbine, and we do have a diesel engine there. Mm-hmm. Now, when I left Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy, I'm still plugged in to their upgrades, what they've done. They have a tremendous deck simulator. You can come out of there. They can change the weather, and they can make it feel like you're actually moving, and you'll come out of there green around the gills if you don't have your sea legs.
That's your measure of success. So tell me, so do folks come in and able to train for a variety of jobs, or does everybody get trained up to enter, you know, and then go into more specific training on their first job?
There's 90, from what I understand, there's 90 some deck courses, and I think there are like 40 or 50 engineering courses. We have people coming in from the Navy that are getting out or staying in. The ones that are staying in come in and take courses to upgrade in the Navy. The ones that are getting out take courses so they can get better jobs when they get out of the Navy. We do everything in there now.
Everything,
don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. So what we're doing for Navy personnel who are on terminal leave or who have left the Navy and have all this vast experience, we're actually sending them to engineering advancement programs, to the deck side of the house, and getting them their credentials as officers in the Merchant Marines. So they're transitioning from the Navy. Some of them still want to go to sea. That salt is in their veins, like all of us that have been to sea, that are mariners. And they want to continue their career through the either commercial industry or to go back to work for Military Sealift Command. Today, I represent a Marine Engineers Union, which is the oldest engineering union in the country. And we handle, I'm the government fleet representative. I represent engineers, and not only with Military Sealift Command, but with NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, and with the Army Corps of Engineers. So all those engineers are people that are trained as licensed, or what we call today credentialed officers, merchant marine officers, sailing on government fleet vessels. And I represent them through this maritime union that I'm involved with today. Lee Goldman said, I mentioned the electrical troubleshooting course that actually the electrical instructor and myself developed when I was there with Mid-Atlantic. It's state-of-the-art. It has all Allen Bradley equipment. We have the top-notch testing equipment. And it's a two-week course that's beneficial to anyone, officers, engineers, electricians, or personnel that want to learn more about electricity and motor control troubleshooting. It's a top-notch, state-of-the-art system and class that is offered at Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy.
I can tell that Joe enjoys putting the trouble in troubleshooting, that you love throwing these students, you know, curveballs. And I mean, better it happened in a business park in Norfolk than out on the water, right?
Absolutely. When I was working, I would get many of engineers, graduates from the maritime academies in the country, and they would put them with me on the ship because they would have all this book knowledge, but they didn't have that hands-on. They didn't have that experience. And what we try and do at not only at sea when we're taking these young men and women today in the industry, but at Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy, what they do is give them some hands-on experience that you don't get in many, many places.
Mm-hmm. We also have one of the best staffs in the world.
Yeah.
Where do they come from? Who are they?
Captain Edna Nordowich, who was on the Comfort. Mm-hmm. How many years was he on the Comfort?
Well, he was on the Comfort. I was chief engineer on the Comfort, too, during Hurricane Katrina. Captain Ed wasn't there then, but he was on there for a good few years.
They come from different military, civilian,
yes.
Oliver?
We have a gentleman who, Bob Alley, who was, he was teaching up at the academy.
Captain Bob was actually the commandant of the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in New York.
And then we have Elliot. I'm not sure he's from England. He was...
Elliot is an English captain who sailed with the Royal Fleet Auxiliary, which is the RFA, which is the, let's say, the counterpart to Military Sealift Command. And all these instructors are seasoned mariners. They're veterans at going to sea, and they have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just newbies that are coming in there to teach. They're people that have had their careers, that have enjoyed their careers, that were very successful in their careers, and now they're sharing that experience with students that want to get into the maritime industry.
It's okay.
I just want to remind folks you can join the conversation today, 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. And I wanted to ask you just for a second, were you skeptical at all about going into this program because it was so new? Like when you get started, were you wondering who are these people? And then you find out the instructors are kind of credentialed for days?
Not really. Because like I said, I did my research. I'm like a whole year.
Yeah.
And I just was trying to find where how I was going to pay it. And then I looked at, I went to the website for Middleland Maritime, and I just kept going through the whole website, the whole homepage. So I got to, I was like, wait a minute, what's this thing right here? It's a boot camp. And I clicked on it, and it's explanatory. It tells you everything you need. And I was looking at to see if there was going to be like an age requirement. I was like, okay, let me see where this, because everything that looks good don't seem to be always good.
Which true.
So I kept going through. I said, wait a minute, there's no age requirement because I'm 53 and I just turned 54.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, whoa. So I didn't see nothing. I was like, whoa. So I said, okay. So then I just went, like I said, over to talk to Miss Kerr, one instructor. She said, well, you need to do this. You need to do that. And everything I need to do, she's going to get your resume and get your credential, get everything you need. Then she said, go over and talk to opportunity. She said, you talk to us, and we doing our part. She said, now go talk to Opportunity Inc. over and talk to them. So we went over to talk to them, did every criteria that they needed. And then after that, I went back to Miss Curl. She said, now you got to have an interview. I was like, what? I read this one on the home page.
Right.
So then I had the interview. So I was like, okay. Then she tells me to come back. Mm-hmm. And I came back just like if it was a job, shirt, tie. She was a whole nine. And then Miss Carol, I didn't expect you to come like that. So I did. And I met Miss Goldman, and she heard my story. And they said, okay, welcome to Middleland Maritime. We'll see you October 3rd.
And off you go. Wow, that was not that long ago.
No, and I was just like, okay, so everything now, it's like you just got to stay on everything that you need to get done. And if anybody out there listening, that you need a second chance and to make yourself better mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, whole now, I would say that this opportunity right here will help you to get where you need to be. And like, I can retire now, I'm 54. If my mind and body are good, I can retire at 62 or 60. But if everything's good, I'm probably going to continue selling to at least 74, 75.
Why not?
Yeah.
We want to ask you, our audience today, do you have a career on the water? What do you think about what you've heard so far of this boot camp program? And also, you know, for the parents out there, you know, oftentimes if a parent has a child who is either demonstrating that the traditional route is not for them, or just
be the way to go.
Just knows it and says, you know, I want to try this. I think it's difficult sometimes for parents to kind of support. I mean, Ju, you said that you're maybe older than the average student coming into this program.
I'm the oldest, besides me and other students, but I'm probably the oldest. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, this maybe isn't a second chance for folks, but even if it's a first chance, it might be different than what somebody's friends are doing or what the majority of people are doing. So let me ask you, Lee, you know, what would you say to, you know, maybe a parent or somebody who is concerned about whether this is a valid path into employment, as we're seeing less and less. I'm not down on college or university by any stretch, not at all. But you don't see every person graduating getting employed in their field if they've not been trained to do something pretty specific.
Well, first of all, the best part about this is the fact that you've got a lot of kids out there who really don't want to go to college. It's that simple. Then you got parents who can't afford it, especially if they have more than one. And this gives them an opportunity to be able to take and have a career and a livelihood that they wouldn't be able to have if they didn't go to school for something like the maritime industry. Mm-hmm. There are other industries, don't get me wrong, but the maritime pays very well. Now, you have to be able to adapt to being away from home,
sure,
and your family, but you have to make choices. And the young people have an opportunity. All they have to do is reach for it. It's that simple.
Let's get to Michael in Virginia Beach. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question?
The question is, I've been going to sea for 30 years, and I've got a son who's, like you said, college is not the route for him. I was trying to think about getting him to join MSC and sail with me, but if you have no experience, you know, he'll be a steward utility. And want to know with your academy, you know, how could y'all bump him above that?
He's going to have to get at least 180 days at sea before he can be bumped, period. He has to come in and do the basics, but he has to have that sea time before he can go after anything else.
So tell me what that means. I remember when I was assigned to my ship, everybody had to go down and mess crank, right? You had to do some time down in the galley before you even got to practice your rate. Do you think there's some value in maybe kind of not skipping the basic stuff that everybody has to do?
No, I think they should have to do it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they need to do the very scud work in order to appreciate what they do later on.
In the Merchant Marines, there are three professions that an individual could pursue. There's the steward department, or as MSC calls it now, the supply department, and that's the cooking and the serving and the cleaning of the vessel, and MSC incorporated that into their supply department, so that also involves the supply departments of the vessel, supplying parts and other services. There's the deck department, where you can go from ordinary seaman, Mid-Atlantic Academy, and Jude is going to get those, they give, and Jude's going to get that credential. And you start off as ordinary, and after a certain amount of time, about a year and a half, you can become able-bodied seaman. And after 3 years, you can actually become an officer, a merchant marine officer.
So there's potential. There's potential from every route.
Absolutely.
I want to get back to Michael, if you're still there on the line. You said you've been going to sea for 30 years. Tell me about your career and your training.
I was in the Navy for 20. Mm-hmm. And after I retired from the Navy, I did truck driving for a while, and then I switched over to MSC. And I've been sailing with MSC for coming up on 14, 15 years now.
So what is your impression of the program that you're hearing about today?
I tuned into you late, so I only caught once you just started talking. But I caught the part when you said for children who are not, college is not a viable option for them. So that that caught my attention. Mm-hmm. So and like I said, I was thinking about my youngest son coming out and sailing, because it'd be a step up from what he's doing, but when you think there's nothing wrong with working in a steward department, all right, but it's a long, hard road up out of the steward department. I've seen it. Some people do very well. They get out, they work their way up in maybe 2 years, and I've seen other people who've been unable to get out after five. I was looking if y'all had the deck department. You said the deck department where you could move up quickly. That's what I was thinking about for him. Not to go through the stewards department.
The valid concerns, a valid point. I mean, I think we all want our kids to learn lessons, and not necessarily all easy lessons. But you don't want any unnecessary suffering either, if there's another way.
MSC has a tendency to take an entry-level rating, which is ordinary seaman, wiper, or food handler, steward department, and put them into their supply department, into their steward department. But it depends on a person's aptitude. If someone shows that they have a really good aptitude, say for engineering or a background in engineering, you'll see chief engineers on the ship recommend them to come and transfer from the steward department to the engine department or vice versa to the deck department. But it all depends on the positions that are open that MSC has. So, you know, they can do the recommendations, but it takes the shoreside personnel to approve those recommendations. So as Michael said, who's been with MSC and the Navy and has had his own career, you know, it's tough with the Military Sealift Command to go from the steward department or supply department, as we call it today, into engineering or deck. Now, when I went from the steward department to engineering, that was back in the 60s. The American Merchant Marine was a real power back then. I sailed commercially. I wasn't with Military Sealift Command at that time. And, you know, there was many, many ships. When I used to go to the old National Maritime Union, where I started out in the late 60s, I would look and there would be 50 jobs on the board. And I would say, where am I going in the world today? Am I going to go to Africa? Am I going to go up to the Congo River? Am I going to go to Madagascar? Do I want to go to South America? I haven't been to this part of the Middle East. I want to go to India, you know. And it was fascinating, you know, because you didn't have computers, you didn't have movies, you were lucky if you got a letter in the Merchant Marines. You know, so I used to read all these books. I was a prolific reader, and that's how I got into the engineering, because of the technical, you know, manuals that were provided for me. There was nothing else to do but study. So I did a lot of reading, and I can go a lot of different places in the world. Today, you know, the Merchant Marine is down to 171 ships. Military Sealift Command is the largest ship operator in the country. Their civilian mariner force for the underway replenishment vessels are right here in Norfolk at NOB.
Why? Why are the numbers down? What's happening?
Well, back in after the Vietnam War, shipping slowed down. And many of the ships that are sailing today are actually owned by American concerns. They're what we call flags of convenience or runaway flags. It's the American Merchant Marine, you know, became... you know, we have a lot of regulations. It's probably one of the most regulated industries in the country today. A mariner like Jude, who's coming up, is going to have to maintain his credentials. He has to do that himself. He has to make sure his credentials are maintained. He's taking his physical. Of course, when you went to Military Sealift Command, they're giving you a physical, but you still have to maintain those credentials yourself. So you have to be very involved with the industry. You have to keep up with all the requirements that are due today. I don't know what, Michael, what rate do you sail as with MSC?
I'm familiar with it. I'm an RET.
Oh, okay. All right. Radio operator. Now, I don't know if you knew me. My name's Joe Michalski. I was chief engineer with Military Sealift Command for the last 14 years I sailed. And now a radio operator is someone that they can take the skills from the Navy or some commercial industry and morph that into a career of going to sea with Military Sealift Command. They've civilianized their radio suite. Yeah. So now we have civilian mariners, you know, operating the radio equipment.
So is a lot of the civilian, the commercial work, are those contracts going to countries with fewer regulations? Is it like what we have seen in other industries that America used to dominate with the jobs going overseas? And is that, if that's the case, then why will there be such a demand like what we saw, 70,000 people needed?
Well, even though, you know, most of the maritime jobs have gone overseas, we still have the maritime security program, the MSP program. So, and because of the Jones Act, which I encourage everyone to support, you know, we're still able to build ships in this country. We're still able to provide services and maritime merchant marines through this country and keep it going. It's very important that everybody gets involved with our Merchant Marine, call their congressman to keep a strong Merchant Marine. Like I said, at one time, the Merchant Marine created a balance in this world. When people saw American flag ships, people would come down. You know, I had entire towns come down to the ports back in the 60s and 70s, just to see the Americans on that American flag ship. Today, we're not loved that much anymore, especially with all the conflicts that are in the world. But it's still important to show the flag. It's still important to show and to carry American goods on American flag vessels. It's important that we maintain this industry. If we lose the American Merchant Marine, we're going to lose all our industry. It's happening with the tool makers. It's happening with the steel. If we start losing all these industries, we're going to lose our vocational abilities in this country.
Be a sad thing, Lee. Is that what motivates you and Arthur to get involved in this program to start this boot camp?
I'm not really sure what motivated us, except we saw there was a need.
Yeah. But what's your connection to the sea and to the seafaring industry?
Nothing except passion to see somebody get better in life and have a better opportunity and be able to do well for their family. And to see the passion that comes out of the people that are involved. Our school is like a family. Everybody cares about everybody and everything. You don't find that in jobs very often. The way they feel about each other is just unbelievable. They're always there for the other. And I think that a lot of my passion came from just watching them. We had an engineer who had 4-stage cancer a few years ago. And the guys all got together and said, until he gets better, we're going to give him our time. We're going to give him our vacations. We don't want to see him do without. That takes a whole lot. It takes a lot for them to care that much about each other, but they care about the school. They do things at school that normally you wouldn't see someone do in a business. We just love the people we work with. It's that simple.
And we'll have to say that Miss Lee, she cooks lunch for the instructors every day. So there's
it seems to all be coming back to cooking here. It seems to also be coming back to good food. Well, I thank you so much. This was a fast hour. We're out of time, unfortunately. But I want to remind you, if you did tune in, halfway or whatever, that's fine. An hour of hearsay is, best. But just a few minutes here and there as you're going about your day is fine, too. We thank Michael from calling in from Virginia Beach, as well as our other caller, and both of them had active duty military service, so we thank them for that more so than their phone call. Also, we want to thank Judea Holloman for coming in. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your experience of trying to get into this program and your hopes for the future because of it. We wish you the best of luck, and best of luck to your son wherever he decides to go on to school. Joe Mikulski, thanks for coming in to talk about this program, your involvement, and also for reminding folks that they should learn a little bit more about the SS United States up there in Philadelphia. And Lee Golden, the executive director of the Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy Boot Camp, thanks so much for caring,
Thank you.
For providing a lane into success for folks who might otherwise have had those doors close on them.
You're very welcome. And if anyone's interested, they can go online to mamatrains.com and they can look up the boot camp or anything else they want at school.
Mamatrains.com. That's MAMA, Mid-Atlantic Maritime Academy. A double meeting, though, that's probably pretty appropriate. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great Tuesday afternoon. Kathy Lewis is back with you tomorrow.